Okay, folks, you read the four-part series in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You heard our interviews, one earlier with Carolyn Tuft and one earlier today with both Carolyn Tuft and Bill Smith, the co-authors of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch series on Joyce Meyer Ministries. Now it's your turn to both react and to offer your thoughts and your ideas about the series and about Joyce Meyer. Anything that you want to talk about in the course of this hour is open, of course, but that's the subject I'm laying on the table at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I said earlier, when we talked about this during Open Lines earlier in the week, that my main concern is not so much with the money, but with what she is teaching, namely, and she's quoted at the end of the very first installment in this series, the whole Bible is really has one message, obey me and do what I tell you to do, and you will be blessed. Now, I've been very clear about why I think this is a completely unscriptural teaching, not only when Joyce Meyer teaches it, but when anybody teaches it. The blessings that God gives us, he says he gives us for one reason, and that is because Jesus Christ earned them at the cross with his obedience. And our obedience, if blessings depend upon our obedience, we're not in for much. I can guarantee that, because we do not obey perfectly as God's law demands we ought to obey, but Jesus did for you and for me. All right, now I've registered my thought on that, but during this hour I have some thoughts on the money too. But before I get to that, let's hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We have a caller from St. Louis. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Yes.
I had, years ago when they were on that storefront church on McKinsey and Gravoy, I happened to go there because they had a Thursday morning prayer group meeting for women. And when I went there, Joyce was naturally the speaker, and she was up on the stage, and she said, "Now, I didn't know when I got up this morning that God was going to bless me with rubies and diamonds, but..." She picked up this pendant on her white knit suit, and she said, "But look, someone gave me this pendant this morning." And later on in the service, this young woman got up, and she said, "Yes, God put it on my heart to give her my necklace, my pendant." And I was very nervous and was going back and forth, struggling with it, if I should, and because my husband gave me that for my anniversary, but I gave it to her. And I thought, my goodness, what, to accept something like that from a young woman that you didn't even know. And then something even more bizarre, she was talking about this, that God would, you know, take care of you and give you what you need. And so she asked anybody if they were struggling financially, because that was her whole message, was about money, financial money. So these six women, young women, mothers, got up, and she called them up to the front of the stage. And then she invoked the women who were in the audience to come up there and put money in their hands, which were behind their back. And I just thought that was not right, because I just praise God every day that I studied the Bible and was not seduced by this kind of ministry. But and then I also went on a Sunday to, I think the man's name is Sheldon, I think. I don't know what the minister's name. I don't know if he's still the minister at that Life Christian Church. But when I went there, I'm a Catholic, and I went after I went to Mass. I went there to see what kind of message they were giving. And he made fun of the priest and the Catholics. And I didn't think that was right, you know, that another religion would, you know, make fun of another religion like that. So those are my two experiences. And every once in a while, I listen on the radio, and I know a lot of young Catholic women that go to that church, and they believe in that 10%, you know, they give them of their income. And I don't know, I just, you know, because I think they don't study the Bible, that they're seduced into this kind of a message.
Thank you very much for the call. Okay, that's interesting. A young woman, this is our caller says she saw a young woman say that she gave Joyce Meyer her diamond and ruby pendant and gave it to her even though it had been a recent anniversary gift from her husband. That, you know, that makes me wonder. Joyce has made no bones whatsoever about saying that she expects the people who come to her conferences to give. It's a major feature of the conferences and apparently of the regular meetings as well. She's made the connection. If you give to me, God will prosper you. We talked about it earlier with Carolyn Tuft and Bill Smith about this prosperity gospel. In one of those series, she's quoted as saying that when she got a $1 million gift of stock from one of her followers, she said it was no longer in her hands 15 minutes. Then she said, okay, God, now I want $5 million. Let me ask you this. Those of you who follow Joyce Meyer, who've been to the thing, who think that the St. Louis Post-Dispatch article is a pack of lies, or who believe that while it may be true, it's no one's business, who believe the prosperity gospel that Joyce Meyer is laying out, that if you obey God, he will bless you, that God's blessings depend upon your obedience, and the reason she's got so much is because she's just that obedient. How far would she have to go? That young lady gave her diamond pendant away that had been an anniversary gift from her husband. I wonder what her husband had to say when she got home. But what if Joyce said, I want all your wedding rings. I know there's money out there, and if you don't have money to give me, I know that you've got wedding rings. I want your jewelry, your wedding rings, your earrings. I want your tennis bracelets. What if she said, I know you've been saving for your kids' college fund, but what you should be doing is trusting God to get your kids through college. If you're putting that money away and not ceding it to the Lord's work, you're showing that you don't trust God to send your kids to college. I want your kids' college fund. How far would she have to go before you said, no, Joyce, I'm not going to give you that? Or is there a point? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. On the line next, Karen is calling from her car. Karen, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, hi. I would just like to say that I've followed Joyce Myers. I've even met her a couple times. I think she's a wonderful person. However, a lot of these people that attend her services.
I'm sorry, I think we just lost her line. Karen, if you could call us back, we'd like to hear the rest of what you had to say. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. While we're waiting for Karen to reconnect, Kathy's calling from her car. Kathy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Kathy.
Yes, you guys will stupid anything, and you believe the media. It happens to be, if you would have really listened to Tim and Al the other morning, you would have found out the true scoop, that none of that belongs to her. And Joyce gives 91 to 90-something percent of the ministry back into people and ministry itself. She earns no salary. And it's a shame that you guys bite on the lie simply because of the jealousy that's out there.
Kathy, how much have you given to Joyce?
Probably in my lifetime, maybe 100.
If she asked for your wedding ring, would you give it to her?
She wouldn't. And that's a bunch of nonsense, and it's a bunch of idle gossip and lies.
I'm just asking if she did.
She would not. And if she did, I wouldn't, because I'd only give what God tells me to give.
Kathy, one more question. Do you agree with Joyce when she says the whole Bible has one message, obey me and do what I tell you and you will be blessed?
The Bible says if you believe the message of Jesus Christ and you obey the covenant, you will truly be blessed and have eternal life. Yes, Jesus said he came to give us life, and that more abundantly, and he promised us eternal life in the future. He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness in this world.
Then you disagree with Joyce, because she doesn't mention faith in Jesus Christ.
Oh, she does, too. That's nonsense.
Not in the quote. She says, the Bible has one message, obey me and do what I tell you, and you will be blessed.
Who's I? It's Jesus. Not what she tells us.
No, not her. I'm not saying that, but she's saying the Bible's message is if you obey, you'll be blessed.
Well, Jesus said, if you obey my word, you shall be my disciples indeed. Of course he said, if you do what I tell you, you will be blessed. He said, if you'll give up homes and everything for this life, I'll give you eternal life and I'll give you more in the future to come. And you know, many are called, few are chosen. Joyce is not a pastor. She is an exhorter in the body of Christ. She directs and leads the body of Christ to do what the Lord has said. Now, I don't follow Joyce. I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also know, and I know people that work for her, that you would look like what you guys are doing is going against God's people, and you're causing discord in the body of Christ. And that's one of the things God hates.
So, Kathy, if you're obedient, do you live in a house like Joyce Meyer? Do you wear custom-made
clothes?
I don't
want a house like Joyce Meyer's. It's not even hers. It belongs to the ministry.
But you should be blessed if you're being obedient, right?
Hey, David lived in a nice house. I got nothing against David, neither.
But I'm talking about you, Kathy.
Me, I have my own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He doesn't call me to live that way. But if Joyce, if her ministry is blessing her, and I mean, I know of people that have royalties from books and everything else. If her blessing, if her ministry is blessing her, if her board says it's okay, then that's what her and her board have agreed to, or they choose to bless her. But that's up to them.
So who determines what blessings the people get, the board or God?
The board under the direction of the Holy Spirit.
All right, Kathy, thank you very much. Well, that's not unexpected, I guess. Is it wrong? This gets me to my second question, which actually was the one that was rolling around in my head before we came on the air about this. And that was, those who defend Joyce, if these practices, like trying to get out of paying property taxes and suing county assessors, having your ministry buy big houses for you, not only you, but your children, and they happen to also be on staff and on your board, and the board decides how the money's being spent. If this were being done by any CEO of a corporation, you name it, Enron, whoever, Christians would be outraged. They say immoral business practices. I think they would. But when it's done by a fellow Christian, apparently there are two rules. You can't touch God's anointed, and I guess you determine who's God's anointed by whoever claims to be God's anointed. You know, I don't understand how Kathy can call in and criticize what we're doing here, because I'm anointed of God to say these things. I mean, if I can't criticize what Joyce Meyer teaches, teaching a prosperity gospel, and claiming that God's going to bless a person if they're obedient, rather than the real reason God blesses people is because of Jesus' obedience and not ours, by her rule, she shouldn't be able to call me and criticize what I'm doing, because I claim to be anointed of God to say this, God's word. I claim to be speaking God's word. But go figure. Tony's on the line. Tony is in his car. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. I wanted to chime in a little bit on the idea that this is sort of a media conspiracy against Joyce, and you can never believe the media when they say these kinds of things. And since the prior caller mentioned Tim and Al specifically, I'll mention them too. I did listen to their show, and they did say that. And you can't believe what the media says about these things, but those same people didn't have any problem believing the media when it was on the Catholic Church for 2 years.
Or on Bill Clinton, yeah.
Or Bill Clinton. I never heard him say, oh, you can't believe what they're saying because it's about Catholics. I mean, in fact, they usually read every article over the air and commented on it and said, you know, here's the reason you got to watch out for those Catholics because, you know, they're all rotten. And the other thing about Joyce is, if she really believes her own teachings, why doesn't she give all of her money away and get 10 times more? I mean, she could write a check to Kenneth Hagin, you know, for the $100 million that her ministry's worth and have $1 billion in a year.
Yeah, but Ken's dead, so she might have to choose Copeland.
Ken Jr.
All right. Thank you very much, Tony. Well, yeah, there is a bit of playing fast and loose with the so-called media conspiracy, which is precisely why, folks, if you've ever wondered, why does Wilkin always quote the St. Louis Post-Dispatch or the Washington Post or the Associated Press or the New York Times? Why I'm always telling you who I'm quoting, mainstream newspapers, is because I'm simply trying to be honest. Is there a bias in the media? There's no doubt about that. And I've got my own bias, too, by the way. You may not have figured that out, but I do. And yet you'll hear people who buy into the conspiracy theory about the media and say you can't believe anything in there, and yet they'll quote from the article something good about, well, that's interesting. So you get to pick and choose which are the lies and which are the truths from the mainstream media? Or in order to establish that the media has a conspiracy, you actually quote the media to do it? Do you see the inconsistency here? Larry's up next, calling from his car. Larry, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, good to hear you. I talk to you. From the Sunday article on here, I noted two things. One is that how the article ended, her saying that if you obey God and listen to his word, he'll bless you. I also noted that as a child and apparently as someone as an adult, she stole things. So I also read Matthew 5 where Jesus said that if your right hand causes you to sin, better to cut it off than to go to hell. I guess the loophole might be that she could be left-handed. I'm not really sure. There's another inconsistency, though, or a potential.
Larry, thank you very much. Actually, I think the series was rather even-handed. And if you were listening earlier, we talked to the authors of the series, the co-authors of the series, Carolyn Tuft and Bill Smith. They said their intent was not to discredit Christianity or to discredit Joyce Meyer, but simply to explain what's going on over here. They sat down with three separate interviews with Joyce. Now, to my knowledge, Joyce has not come out and said that any fact that they put forth in the article is wrong. To my knowledge, her defenders have. But they said themselves that they got the financial numbers from Joyce and her staff. They were more than open about on the financial matters. They wouldn't say how much she made or how much certain people made, but and they said, well, we don't know how much they make. And they said it. I thought it was really rather even-handed, to tell you the truth. Negative and positive. Next, from Georgetown, California, Florence, listening on the internet, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. We're not in St. Louis or anything. I have not seen the article about Joyce Meyer. In fact, when we were in St. Louis is the only time I really was exposed to her and her teaching. I guess the thing that is frustrating to me as I listen today is the reactions of the women, the emotional reactions of the women who want to defend her, and they're grasping at things like conspiracy theories or anything and not really addressing the facts, not really addressing the issue. So she's living in great comfort. She has limousine service, but it's the ministry's money. Well, it's still her that's benefiting from it. Whether she is leasing this stuff or whether she owns it, the fact of the matter is she doesn't represent the people that are giving her the money. She is living much better than they are. And it seems like I'm almost embarrassed about women and what they're willing to resort to defend her. They don't resort to the truth. They resort to emotional arguments and visceral reactions, and you can't pick on her because she's such a nice Christian woman, and I'm baffled. I don't understand it.
Thank you very much, Florence, and thank you for listening on the internet. Keep it up, please. Well, welcome to the world of American evangelicalism, where the ability to think critically, the ability to discern truth from error, is virtually non-existent. Where anti-intellectualism is considered a virtue, a strength, where dealing with the facts and applying double standards go hand in hand. Where failing to deal with the facts and applying double standards go hand in hand. Look, the way Christians should react when one of their own is criticized, publicly or privately, is to say, what is the truth? Not you can't criticize, or you shouldn't, or how dare you. It is, what is the truth? You know, we criticized the Purpose-Driven Life book recently. Tons of response to this. People writing in saying, I want to listen to these 2 hours because my church is involved in it, or they're talking about getting involved in it, or we just came out of it and I thought something was wrong with it. I need to listen to these 2 hours, and people are listening in droves. And some people said, how dare you criticize? Well, let's sit down with the Bible, as we did in those 2 hours, and let's see where this teaching squares with the Bible. That's really all we're trying to do here. Does the teaching that if you obey, God will bless you square with what Scripture teaches? Is that the one message of Scripture? Obey and God will bless you. Or is it, in fact, as I have said before, Christ obeyed when we could not for us. He obeyed for us. And that is the source of all blessing. That is where our faith lies, not in our own obedience. Mary is calling from Arnold. Mary, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Well, I'm frustrated now. Before the articles ever came out about this woman, I've driven by her place. I know where she lives, and she's built all these big, huge homes for her family. And she's a force. That's all there is to it. If she thought of her ministry only, why does she have, I mean, my church has its name there. It doesn't have Mary or our pastor's name. It has our church's name. She don't even have her church's name on her church. She has Joyce Myers Ministries. How wonderful. Now, the other thing I think that she had better do is read about David and Solomon and Job, all in the Old Testament. And then along came Jesus Christ and died on the cross.
For every last one of them, boy.
Right. And God looked at David and Solomon and Job. He looked at them. But when Christ died for us, he doesn't look at us like he looked at them. He looks at us through Christ. So we don't have to worry about all that. I think of all the money, and I know you didn't want money brought up, but all the money that is that woman has taken, and we think about the poor people, the poor man that she took his life savings of $4,500, and now the man is sick, dying in the hospital, and he can't get any help from Joyce Myers. You know, tell me, you know, is this Christianity? If it is, then, you know, we're in bad shape.
Mary, thank you very much for the call. Oh, by the way, Jesus died for David and Solomon and Job, too. And that's how God looked at David and Solomon and Job through the cross as well. That's why Scripture can tell us that David sits in heavenly bliss. It's because he looked forward to the one who would die for him. Because God sees David and Job and Todd and everybody else through Jesus Christ. And that's why he blesses us, too. I said this before, and I'll say it again. You know that you're on to the gospel, the real good news, when it's not about you, when it's so much Jesus that you start to say to yourself, it's too good to be true. Could it be that God really blesses me only and solely because of what that one man who was also God did for me? Could he really be the source of all blessing, not only eternal life, but blessings in this life as well? Could it be true what Paul says, if God did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also along with him give us all things? Could it be true that Jesus really is the only reason that God blesses us, whatever those blessings may be? Could it be that I have nothing to do with how much God blesses me, but Jesus is the only reason? You know, when you hear that, you know you're on to the gospel. When it's so good that it almost sounds too good to be true, but it is that good and it is true. We'll be right back.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
17th century theologian Johann Gerhardt wrote of Christ's intercession for us in prayer. What will the Heavenly Father deny His beloved Son? What will our gracious Savior not obtain by the power and merit of His satisfaction accomplished for us? The shrine of heaven stands open to Him. Christ delivers our prayers to the secret counsel of God. Will the Father not hear Him? Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for November is called Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhardt. You can order Meditations on Divine Mercy by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or visit our website issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section and you'll find information on our Issues, Etc. book of the month for November, Meditations on Divine Mercy. When you call or write, mention Issues, Etc.
Racism. Stop looking on the outside.
Answers with Ken Ham. whose ministry is building a large creation museum near Cincinnati, Ohio. Well, Ken, what does your phrase, looking on the outside, have to do with racism?
At many of the conferences I speak at all over the world, I often ask people the following. What do they believe is the major factor that most people would use as a basis for racist attitudes against a particular person or group of people? And you know, without hesitation, people say skin color, particularly dark or what's called black skin. I then go on to show that all humans actually have the same skin color. It's a matter of how much of the pigment a person has. The shade of skin is just what I would call an outside factor. Even evolutionists recognize that the main differences between people groups are really cultural, not genetic. The famous Human Genome Project had scientists declaring, quote, "If you ask what percentage of your genes is reflected in your external appearance, the basis by which we talk about race, the answer seems to be in the range of 0.01%. End of quote. Well, this percentage is insignificant. People need to stop making a major issue over minor differences like skin shade and eye shape and do what God does. He doesn't look at the outside, but the inside, a person's heart, the real person, who, like all of us, is a descendant of Adam.
This fascinating topic is explored in much more depth in Ken Ham's intriguing booklet, Where Did the Races Come From? It's available free at AnswersRadio.com.
AM 850, KFUO weather for St. Louis. Mostly clear tonight, low of about 44. For tomorrow, mostly sunny. Going to be nice in the afternoon, high near 75. Right now, it's clear and 63. And our last look at St. Louis traffic this evening. Northbound 270 after Page Avenue, slow traffic in all lanes there. Westbound 40 between Kings Highway and Hanley, slow traffic. Also, after 270, slow traffic through Mason. Southbound 270 between 40 and Doherty Ferry, there's some heavy traffic. Eastbound 270 between 370 and 170, heavy traffic is there also. Westbound 40 between McKnight and Lindbergh, some slow traffic. Let's take a look at the bridges. Northbound 55 between 44 and the Poplar Street Bridge, slow traffic in the right lane. And eastbound 40 between Jefferson and the Poplar Street Bridge, stop and go traffic there. That's traffic and weather on AM 850 KFUO. I'm Craig Allen.
Oh, dear. We never talk anymore. Our budget is out of control and my parents are moving to town. Whatever shall we do?
Well, frankly, my dear, we need to listen to Dr. Dobson.
Oh.
Classic advice for classic problems. Tune in to Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson. After all, tomorrow can be a better day.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back. A very short 10 minutes left in Issues Etc. open lines during this hour. We have a full board of calls. I don't know if we'll be able to get to all of them, but we will try and get to as many of them as we possibly can in the next 10 minutes before we go to those phones. Look, before the break, we had a caller talking about David and Job and Solomon. Laying aside for the moment Joyce Meyer, how she deals with this. Anyone, be it your pastor, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, who takes these Old Testament stories and spins moral messages from them, little morals and lessons for you to take away and emulate, and if you just be a little bit more like David, you know, you might have a little more of what David, a little bit more of the bling bling that David had, or you might get your bling bling as an eternal reward if you're Rick Warren. That's what it's really all about. Getting to heaven is just stage one. Getting the bling bling. Yeah, God's got something waiting for you. That's the real thing. That's what your purpose is all about. Well, anyone who does this and gives you David and Job and Moses and Solomon as mere moral examples and doesn't get you to the cross. If David doesn't get you to the cross, if Solomon and Job don't get you to the cross, you have not heard the gospel. The Old Testament there is to testify of one and one person alone, and that is Jesus. That's where it's all driving. If you hear all about David and Moses and Solomon and never get to Jesus Christ as the fulfiller of the law, as the son of David, as the one who died for one and all, including David, Moses, and Solomon, as the one through whom they all inherited eternal life, and you too, and me too, you haven't heard the gospel yet. You should leave church immediately and find some place that does preach the gospel. Richard's on his car phone. Richard, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi there. What's you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can.
Yeah, I was listening to your program here as I was traveling along the interstate here, and I'm over here by Marion, Illinois, and I gathered that St. Louis Post-Dispatch wrote an article about Joyce Meyer's Ministries, and I just wanted to comment about that and
sure.
say I personally think that that whole doctrine is absolutely ridiculous and very unbiblical. And I would sort of like to tell you why I think that.
And, you, go ahead, but make it quick, because we do have a lot of people waiting here.
Okay, well, you know, the Scripture says that in 1 John, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And these people that are in this name it and claim it doctrine totally take God's will out of the context. In other words, they aren't interested in God's will at all. They're only interested in their own will. And likewise, Proverbs 30, verse 7 tells us exactly what God's will is regarding people having money. They shouldn't have too much so that they forget God. And on the other hand, they shouldn't have so little that they need to go out and steal and defame His name as a Christian.
Richard, thank you very much. Excellent thoughts there. Yeah, Jesus does say, if you ask anything in my name, but of course he doesn't mean that you can ask for your neighbor to fall over dead from a stroke, does he? So when he says anything, he necessarily means what John explains him to mean, and that is anything according to God's will. Let's talk to Troy calling from Collinsville. Troy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Hey, my concern is I sit here listening in my garage here, and people are calling in saying that, you know, you're being disruptive to the church body. You know, I was molested, spiritually molested, in a Pentecostal church for about 30 years, Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. And I've been a Lutheran for about a year now. And the burden's been lifted from this stuff. I was wrapped up in all that stuff that you're talking about, this Myers and Copeland and all that stuff. Very very heavy cross to bear, and we can't do it. You know, it's all about Christ. It's not about us. And these people that call in, Todd, you're doing a great job. This message needs to get out there. They're the ones that are being disruptive. Thank you.
Troy, thank you very much. Yeah, I guess I should respond just briefly to the accusation that if you point out error in the church, you're somehow causing division. Scripture is very clear on this. It is not those who point out error in the church who cause division. Otherwise, you'd have to include Paul in those who are divisive. No, Scripture is very clear. It is those who propagate a different gospel. It is those who teach error in the church that are the causers of division. That's why Paul is so clear in Romans chapter 16. He says, mark those. It means point them out. Mark those who cause divisions among you. And it's very clear from the rest of his writings that those divisions are caused by false teaching. Whatever it may be, an error, mark them and avoid them. That's why I can tell you to get up and leave the church if you're not hearing the gospel, because you're hearing something else, some other counterfeit gospel. Not only do you not need to hear it, you need to avoid it. You know, Joyce Meyer decried her former church for telling her that she was a poor, miserable sinner. She at one time was a Lutheran, strikingly. And she said, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The fact that I am a sinner is a lie from the pit of hell? When Scripture so clearly tells me I am, when David says I was conceived and born in sin, when he says he cries out for God's mercy continually throughout his life, Joyce, you shouldn't be teaching that. To call the message of the law that we are sinners in need of a Savior alive from the pit of hell is about as basic a error as one can make. And by the way, she was criticizing fellow Christians when she did that. And how often have you heard preachers like this decry the denominations, the institutional church, denominational churches? You can't do that. You're criticizing the brethren, don't you know? I guess some errors, or at least some perceived errors, are worth pointing out and others aren't. Jane's calling from her car. Jane, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. I know you haven't gotten into much of her theology. I have a book of hers at home that where she states that Jesus had to go to hell to be beat by Satan and demons to atone for our sins. He was the first born-again man in hell. He was born again in hell, the first man to be born again. And if we don't believe that, we are not going to heaven. Now, some have talked to her, and she says she doesn't believe that anymore, but it's still in her books that she sells. My question to you is, if somebody that comes in that knows nothing about the Bible, gets this, reads it, they're going to have a different Jesus. Are they going to go to heaven? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Can't go to heaven with a different Jesus than the one Scripture gives us. It's that simple. The one thing you got to get right, folks, is Jesus and who he is. And by the way, that teaching that Jesus went to hell to be tortured by the devil and Satan and that he was the first born again man is not unique to Joyce Meyer. It is standard teaching in the Word Faith churches. Standard teaching. It is part of the foundation of what they believe. And if you look into it, I would suggest a counterfeit revival by Hank Hanegraaff to get a little learning on that. I'm sorry I can't take any more phone calls because our time is running short and I do need to wrap it up. And I appreciate those who have called. Perhaps tomorrow. Is tomorrow Thursday? Is that correct? Perhaps tomorrow we can squeeze in some more for you. But the time has run short. And I do thank for those who did call and got through as well, each and every one of them. Look, whether it's the money that concerns you, and I understand your concern about the money, whether it's the various teachings that you find at odds with what Scripture teaches that concerns you, and I understand that as well, bear in mind this one thing. And I think the last caller really touched upon this. What's always at stake whenever I or anyone else points out errors that are being taught and propagated in the church, what's always at stake and always in view is the central teaching of Scripture. You see, the Bible does have one message, but it's not the message that Joyce says it is in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It's not your obedience and God's blessings. It is Christ's obedience for you and God's blessings. And those blessings don't necessarily mean riches in this life. In this life, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Grace is, so rightly said by many, God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, if Christ has earned God's riches, and all of God's riches, if he has earned them completely and totally with his blood shed at the cross, there is nothing, nothing that you need to earn from God anymore. There's no effort on your part required. Jesus has earned it all. That is the central message of the Bible. That is the good news. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.